contending for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Shall not murder is the sixth commandment. We live in a culture today where this has completely overtaken. We've seen a complete loss of the value of the dignity of human life. Just look at the movies. Look at the revenge culture in which we live, the love of death. Murder is a way of life now, and we're going to look at and explore this commandment today, how far-reaching it is, and why God put this in place, and how this has affected us, as we should, again, think a lot about the value and dignity of being made in the image of God. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. Call us at 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook, and we're so thankful you take time out of your day to tune into the program. Well, today on Abounding Grace, we have again Pastor Mike Brown from Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, as we are continuing our study for some time now in the Heidelberg Catechism, and we come to this third section that we've been working through, the commandments of God. Again, it's helpful to be reminded that God put these commandments in the third section as a way of gratitude for us to live as His children, as those who've been redeemed and set free. And now to walk in the newness of life, the Heidelberg appropriately puts a study of the Ten Commandments in the place of the Christian walk now in a way that we can live thankfully. Mike, today we come to the sixth commandment. We've looked at the first table, which dealt with our relationship to God. And now we're looking at the second table, commandments 5 through 10, that look at our relationship to our neighbor. And we come to the sixth commandment. There's so much to say about this. It's hard to know where to begin. Maybe it's helpful just to look at what our Heidelberg begins with about the sixth commandment. What is God's will for us in the sixth commandment?
Right. So question 105, it's Lord's Day 40. We remember the Heidelberg Catechism is that great summary of the Christian faith. Really gives us everything that we need to know concerning Scripture's teaching about our guilt, how we are saved by grace because of Christ, and how we now live in gratitude. And in the gratitude section, we go through these Ten Commandments, which is how we are to love God and love neighbor as people who are redeemed and living in the new covenant. And as we come to question 105, it says, what is God's will for you in the sixth commandment? Answer, I am not to belittle, insult, hate, or kill my neighbor, not by my thoughts, my words, my look, or gesture, and certainly not by actual deeds. And I am not to be party to this in others. Rather, I am to put away all desire for revenge. I am not to harm or recklessly endanger myself either. Prevention of murder is also why government is armed with the sword. Wow. Pretty yeah. far-reaching.
I mean, that really is. And I think the first issue here, I mean, this has become such a way of life. And we see here, I'm sure we're going to talk about, not only is this just speaking of the physical act of murder, but notice how the Heidelberg really addresses this as all-encompassing in the way that we view our neighbor and how we treat our neighbor by, you know, belittling, insulting, and hating is all murder in God's sight. And Jesus made this very clear. If I'm angry with my brother without a cause, I've committed murder. This is something so clear here. But I think it's important to start with Mike. You know, I mean, maybe we've just become so immersed. This is such a way of life in American culture, Western culture. I mean, we have video games where it just means nothing now. The revenge dominates a good movie today. That's what dominates Hollywood. That's how you get viewers is murder and revenge. All these sort of things. What we've lost here is a complete, and I mentioned this in the beginning, value of the dignity of human life that we have been created in the image of God. Imagine how if we just started again thinking about what it means to be created in the image of God. What a heinous thing it is to take that image and try to stamp it out of existence.
Right. We need to remember that human beings are God's masterpiece. Just as the great artists of the world have masterpieces, Michelangelo's sculpture David, or Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, or Tolstoy's War and Peace, God has a masterpiece too. I mean, he created so much, the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But the thing that we find in those 6 days of creation recorded in Genesis 1 and 2 that is his masterpiece is ultimately man, created male and female in his image. And what that means is that, not that God has a giant body like we have a body, but rather that we are to reflect his holy ways at our own creaturely level. So just as God rules over the whole universe, well, we are to rule over as his vice regent of the world. Just as God worked and rested, we are to work and rest in that rhythm of six and one, and we are his masterpiece. But whenever we seek to kill or injure or maim or reach out and hurt another human being, what we are actually doing is striking out at God. Now, I want to make it clear that, you know, there is a place for proper punishment, and we can talk about that. And also, you mentioned, you know, revenge in movies, and there's a sense in which we want to see justice done. I think that's what resonates in our heart when we watch a movie like Gladiator, where there's this revenge for some, you know, against someone who did a great evil act. We understand that. However, we have to address the sin that's in the heart, as you pointed out, Chris. And when we're reaching out to strike somebody with our words, with our actions, even with our thoughts, what we are trying to do is kill God.
Yeah, I mean, and it's interesting that right after the fall, the first scene recorded in Scripture in Genesis 4 is a breaking of the sixth commandment. It is Cain and Abel, and here was Abel bringing a righteous sacrifice, and Cain's sacrifice was not pleasing to the Lord. And what happened? Full of bitterness, jealousy, anger, hatred in his heart. And the Lord described it there. Sin is crouching at your door. It wants to come in. This is a heart issue. It started there and it worked its way out to the actual striking down of Abel in blood. And the Lord even saying there, which is getting to everything you just emphasized about the image, his blood cries out to me from the ground. He has been made in the image of God, and you took that life. Look at how it all started there, and Heidelberg correctly emphasizes this. In the heart of the issue of man, that man despises that image, and hatred takes over, and he ends up hating that image of his fellow man in the image of God.
Yeah, and we think how much we would hate to see a great masterpiece destroyed. I mean, imagine someone taking out a Sharpie and destroying the Mona Lisa, right, or a sledgehammer and destroying the one and only Michelangelo sculpture, David. Well, that's how God looks at the hurting, the maiming, the killing of another image bearer. And it is any time, as John Calvin said, our neighbor bears the image of God. To use him, abuse, or misuse him is to do violence to the person of God who images himself in every human soul. That's important for me to remember. I find myself treating people with a lot less dignity than they deserve. I'm an impatient person, I'll be honest. And when the doorbell rings, where I live in San Diego, we get a lot of solicitors, and someone's coming to waste my time, you know, trying to sell me something. I often am tempted to treat that person with a lot less dignity than I should. Even though I'm really not interested in what they're selling, nevertheless, that person, because they're a human being, deserves my love. They deserve to be treated with dignity. The same with my neighbor. As much as I love my dog, he is a kind of a member of our family. My dog, he does not bear the image of God. My neighbor does. Even if I don't particularly like my neighbor, I need to remember that he is to be treated with dignity because he bears God's image.
Right. That's so important. I mean, just how we look at people in general. I mean, when I go, we're in a consumeristic society. We look at everything as commodities, even people now. We go to, you know, the coffee shop. Do we have any care for the person serving us? Right. All we care about is that they get my order right. I mean, there's no sense of who this this person is standing in front of me. And I just think it just shows. I remember as a child thinking to myself, you know, when I first understood this, what an awful thing that somebody could take and rob someone and take their life. I don't know. Maybe we've just lost that completely today. But that was something that always troubled me as a child. And it still should deeply trouble us that goes on, that lives every day are taken in brutal hatred from the heart as an attack on the image of God. So we've looked at that principle here that should drive the way we look at the value and dignity of human life. And the Heidelberg's helping us, Mike, think about some very specific ways in which we break this commandment. So notice here that in question 106, does this commandment refer only to killing? You know, there's the letter of the law, there's the spirit of the law. This takes us further and shows us how far-reaching this commandment is. By forbidding murder, God teaches us that he hates the root of murder, which is envy, hatred, anger, vindictiveness. In God's sight, all such are murder. Now, the Bible has said no murder shall enter the kingdom of God, these people who live in those things. Notice this emphasis here of where murder is actually taking place. Every time I have envy, every time I have hatred for somebody, every time I have anger towards somebody in my heart, in God's eyes, I'm murdering.
That's right. That's right. And Jesus gets at that in his Sermon on the Mount when he talks about murder takes place in the heart. It's been an epidemic ever since the fall. It's, as you pointed out, we see the first murder with Cain and Abel. But it's something, as James says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? And so it's a problem of the human heart. It's not just the fact that murderers are those who go and take the life of somebody. Well, maybe I've never taken someone's life, but nevertheless, I have murdered in the heart. And this really shows us our need for a savior, doesn't it? Because when we get at that root cause, that sin is in the heart, that hatred, that vindictiveness that resides inside the soul of every person, inside everyone's mind, and we see that it's an offense to God, well, then it shows us our need for a savior, which is one of the functions of the law. And it drives us to Jesus Christ, the only one who never committed any sin, the one who never murdered in his heart, the one who never had vindictiveness. Even in his rebukes of the Pharisees, which are perfectly just, he never has vindictive hatred in his heart. He has only righteous anger, an anger against evil, but never in such a way that it reduces the dignity of the image bearer. Never in such a way that he is striking out at God, who's implanted in his image in every human being.
Perfect love. I mean, think about how Christ described it. Greater love. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus taught us love. This is why he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. And it wasn't that love had never been commanded before. It was that Jesus showed us and taught us true love. And the great contrast to that, the Apostle John gave in 1 John, is to say, he who hates his brother is a murderer, and he directly links that to belonging to the father of all murderers, who is the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. So you see this great contrast provided for us in the scripture. And I think it shows too, Mike, you know, the challenge here. This is why Jesus was so strong on forgiveness, right? I mean, this is a great emphasis that we should be forgiving and loving of our neighbor, letting things go, to let bitterness and hatred remain in the heart. Is a form of murder, and those are the kind of things that Jesus openly condemns, because he taught us in the very Gospels, you so beautifully outlined here a moment ago, he taught us what love is and what forgiveness is in the cross. So there's a whole different way, and this is why the Heidelberg puts this commandment here for us. There's a whole different way the Christian is now to live in loving his neighbor. That's the positive aspect of this commandment that we need to emphasize. The negative says, thou shalt not murder. The positive says, love your brother.
That's right.
Serve your brother.
That's right.
Care for your brother.
And because we are now in Christ, the one who never murdered in word, thought, or deed, we now are to have that kind of love. That's precisely what Paul says in Ephesians 4 when he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. In other words, right there in chapter 4, verse 31, he's saying, don't murder. Right. Stop murdering in your words, in your thoughts, in your heart. Verse 32, here's the positive side of that. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Wow. As I read that, not only am I convicted over my own murderous heart toward just people in general, but I think of even the horrible stuff that goes on amongst Christians, mm-hmm. even on the web, you know, as we enter into debates. And sometimes it becomes a personal attack rather than arguing a position. It becomes an attack of the person. And, you know, this is something that we really need to bring before the Lord, is our own sin and confess it and seek by the power of the Spirit to be like Christ. Who did not murder in his words or his thoughts or his deeds.
Yeah, that's really helpful. That really does supply the motivation to be who we are as new creatures. I mean, when we look at the Son of God, Mike, who, you know, when he was here, when he was threatened, when he was assaulted, when he was punched in the face, he didn't return. He committed it to the one who judges justly, but he taught us love. So I really appreciate that. That's going to be the springboard from which we are going to want to love and practice love and fight against murderous thoughts in the heart. That's very helpful. You also made here, Mike, a connection to social media. I think that is really important. It's really removed all personal contact with people, living, breathing, real people made in the image of God. And so we get in the in front of the computer and we read things, we write things, we attack. I mean, just think of all the attacks that happen. We have no sense anymore of, because we're not in front of people, we're not looking at people, of how we're breaking this commandment. Imagine, Mike, how society would operate. Just think about this. If this were honored, and how people, again, would the way that society would function well if we didn't murder. Think about this. God tells us to love our neighbors, to be patient, peace-loving. Well, that's, I mean, we're not peace-loving at all today. Gentle, merciful, looking at somebody and saying, you know, I'm going to show them, I'm not going to give them, treat them for what they deserve, but actually show mercy to them in their actions. To be friendly, it says here. This is a good one. To protect our neighbor from harm as much as we can.
Right.
And then to do good even to our enemies. This is God's way.
Yeah.
This is and you know, everything about our society is contrary to that. Everything. But it's contrary because of the sinful nature in the human heart.
Right. Well, we're looking out for ourselves rather than the interest of our neighbor. Yeah, Luther said, you know, this commandment, the sixth commandment, is violated not only when a person actually does evil, but also when he fails to do good to his neighbor, or though he has the opportunity, says Luther, fails to prevent, protect, and save him from suffering bodily harm or injury.
Right.
We really have to think about what is best for my neighbor. And that this is where murder starts, is when I'm only looking out for myself. Isn't that what Cain did? He was only looking out for his own interest, for his own pride, to satisfy his own sense of outrage. Sometimes we love outrage more than we love people.
You love a fight.
Right.
I mean, how many kids at the playground when a fight happened?
Right.
Springing to watch the fight.
Or we see something, you know, on the news and we're upset about it and we feel a greater sense of satisfaction being outraged about something that's wrong, right, than we do in loving the person who needs correction.
Right. We just seem to be fighting for our own positions, just to be right, with a sort of partisan spirit, a party spirit. As long as our position, if somebody's attacking it, I'm going to fight no matter. It's really completely regardless of what is truth anymore. Truth doesn't even seem to matter in discussions and the way that people treat one another. It's not about truth. It's about proving my point. It's about me being right. It's about my party being right. This is how we operate. And we completely violate the law of love this way. And I think that's, you're right, this is something we've got to think about again. We don't even know how to interact with one another because of that party spirit, and we just rip each other apart. Instead of in love, being able to thoughtfully consider the other person's point of view, to listen to the other person's point of view, and love them in my response to that point of view. I think that's an excellent point we've got to think a lot more about it. And there's so much to say here. You see how all-encompassing this commandment truly is. things. One of the other things I think we could think about, you know, isn't it sad, Mike, that, you know, I mean, you have to raise this here. We're murdering how many unborn babies in this society? And, you know, we have more value and dignity given to animals, where we see this all the time. Romans 1 says we're worshiping and serving the creature rather than the creator. And we see this where we give all this attention to protecting and preserving animals. And yet look at the murder that's going on in this abortion problem.
Right.
That we're
just
dealing
purely
with.
Out of convenience and self-interest. Well, it's sad. I mean, really, the view of human beings is on decline in Western culture. And it's really one of the great paradoxes of modernity in the modern world is that as more and more progress is made in science, technology, and medicine, it seems that there's less value being placed on human beings. And so it's strange. We're finding cures to diseases. We're living longer these days. Even socially, there's more equality amongst races. And all those things are good. But what's strange is that some things are not getting better, but actually getting worse. And one of those things is the fact that human life is increasingly viewed as possessing no more dignity than a dog or a tree. Right. And so our modern Western world, it prides itself in thinking that it's brought human history to its highest point and is making the world a better place. And yet we are also witnessing the rise of a culture of death. You know, humans are killed out of convenience through abortion and euthanasia, because really they're not viewed as bearing the image of God. And about 20 years ago, there was a prominent medical professor who said something really interesting and profound. He said, we can no longer base our ethics on the idea that human beings are a special form of creation made in the image of God, singled out from all other animals and alone possessing an immortal soul. Once this religious mumbo jumbo has been stripped away, we may continue to see normal members of our species as possessing greater capacities of rationality, self-consciousness, communication, etc., than members of other species, but we will not regard as sacrosanct the life of each and every member of our species. It's sad and scary that that worldview is become embraced so commonly.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, if that view prevails, if we have so lost the dignity and value of somebody being created in the image of God to that degree, you understand why murder would prevail in a society. You understand why hatred of people, while there's no more respect for the person in the way that we treat one another. And as things continue to spiral down in this way, and we see police officers, and we see all the challenges governmentally with dealing and trying to curb evil and hatred and murder. Remember Romans 13, and Heidelberg picks up on this here. Romans 13 tells us that God gave governing authorities who are a terror to evil works, who are a terror to those wanting to murder than to good works. So that's why we are to honor governing authorities. But as we see these things continue to spiral down, you have to say the only solution is going to be is that people again would value what it means to be created in the image of God. We've got to keep coming back to that, so that it would provide some kind of restraint of what goes on in our hearts and anger and in murder and hatred towards people. But I can't get away from what Romans says, that the ultimate problem is there's no more fear of God in people's lives. They don't think about these things. They don't fear him, so they don't think of the consequences of what they're doing. And I guess that leaves us with, to sort of sum up again, with a very positive view of how we are to love one another and treat one another. These pathways do not bring happiness. These pathways bring emptiness. Anyone who does not forgive, anyone who hates, anyone who murders in the heart is not a happy person. There's no real joy in their life. They're being eaten up on the inside by hatred and bitterness. But there's a positive way forward, right?
Right. And so Romans 12 tells us really what it means to be pro-life and not to murder. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. All of that has to do with the sixth commandment.
Yeah, what a great emphasis to close the program with. I mean, that's the note we want to end on here. There's so much to say about this. This is why we study these commandments on Abounding Grace Radio. We want to help the Christian lead a Christian life, distinctively Christian life, in a way that pleases God and is thankful for the salvation that he's given. These commandments reflect the perfect law of liberty. In other words, when we live in light of his commandments, we actually find that we're in a place of harmony, unity, and peace. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we direct you to the website at agradio.org. agradio.org. Download the podcast, write to us. We'd love to hear from you. The number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook, and we love to hear from our listeners. Thanks to Pastor Mike Brown for being with us today on Abounding Grace Radio. We're always thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. Until next time, may the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.